Alex Williams Crosby from Fatal Games, and you are listening to Hysteria Continues.
And indeed you are. Welcome back to episode 107, and this time we're going to make you pay in sweat. So here's a little bit of Olivia to get you going. We are going to be doing a killer workout, and we're all sat here in our Lycra and leg warmers. And so I'll introduce you to the workout crew. So first up is Eric, who wanted to... he wasn't with us last time, and he wanted us to refer to him by his MC handle. So introducing MC Specky. How are you doing, MC Specky?
I'm not MC Specky.
Are you not?
MC Sexy.
Oh, sorry. Okay. Right,
and
okay.
By the way, I'm a cast member from... Aerobicide, and this is the way I speak.
What, you mean the perfect diction?
Is that your joke of the week?
No. Joke of the week's even better.
I bet you've practiced a lot of diction in your time, Eric, haven't you?
I have.
Yes, MC.
I'm a cunning linguist.
I bet you are, yes. Okay, well, yes, we'll be talking about the fantastic sound quality of Aerobicide, aka Killer Workout, a little bit later. But Joseph, are you paying in sweat or blood?
Yeah, I'm getting my tight workout in. My abs are so tight, brah.
So, I've got these visions of all three of you all bending over in Lycra, and we're seeing things we shouldn't be seeing. But anyway, I'll try and wash my brain of that. But are you bending over in Lycra, Nathan?
Yes, we're having an exercise class while they deal with a couple of dead bodies in the next room. Because we don't care that there's been murders. We got to get our workout in.
Well, absolutely.
Yeah, lots of...
lots of what, Eric?
Lots of murders.
Murders.
And it still doesn't stop them going back to the gym.
I know. Well, we're gonna come on to this cinematic masterpiece a little bit later. And whose choice was this?
This was courtesy of Stephen Green, I believe.
Okay. Well, thank you, Stephen. And we'll be talking about that a little bit later when we get onto our feature presentation. But before we do that, we are going to talk a little bit about what we've been watching recently. We haven't recorded for, what's it, a couple of weeks, 3 weeks maybe, is it? I can't remember.
Yeah. I haven't been here for a while, but I think you recorded 2 weeks ago.
Oh, no, we did, didn't we? No, it's just Eric. You weren't with us. You were in the Turkish prison, weren't you?
Yes.
Working out in Turkish prison.
That was it. Yeah. Got my
Eric had all that time. Eric had all that time in the yard.
Yes.
And in the shower.
Yes. Well, I'm sure you'll regale us the tales of that a little bit later, Eric. But did you have a nice holiday?
I did, apart from it raining for the first 4 days.
Well, that's climate change for you.
That is climate change. I blame you and your hairspray in the 80s.
Well, that possibly could be very true, actually. But you still had a good time, didn't you?
I did.
Yes.
I met a man who was, get this, I met a man and he was dressed up as a woman.
No.
Yeah, it was true.
Did you arrest him?
No, well, I did call the police. I don't know what happened, though, after I just ran home because I was scared.
Okay. I can imagine you going full Inga for the first 4 days. Or did you just get drunk?
I just got drunk and we watched television. Yeah.
Okay. Well, that's fair enough then. So, okay. Well, anything else to report from anyone else? So I did karaoke last night for the first time, as you've probably saw.
Yes, we saw and we heard.
Yes.
Voice of an angel.
I know. It was kind of, I'm going to be on X Factor next. Yes. The first time doing karaoke and perhaps the last, but yeah.
No, don't let anyone dissuade you ever again.
Really? Well, I would. Yeah. I'm going to try some Mariah Carey scales next time.
Yes.
Because that couldn't be any more worse. But anyway, we did shoot a video of There's a Light That Never Goes Out by the Smiths, which I won't put on Facebook because it's too horrendous. But
No, we want it. Your public demands it.
Well, I might share it with you behind the scenes.
Okay.
So, anyway, right. Well, let's talk about what we've been watching recently. So, Nathan, do you want to start us off?
Yes. Yesterday, I went and saw The Green Inferno. I really, really enjoyed it. I thought it was a really fun throwback to the Italian cannibal movies. And I mean, it's just one of those movies where I didn't think there was anything boring. I was entertained the whole entire time. And, you know, there was a few times that maybe the humor was a little much, especially when a scene was really tense. But overall, I mean, I really liked it. You know, I thought that it's probably one of the more gory movies I've ever seen at the theater. Especially one of the first deaths that happens when they get captured. So, yeah, thumbs up.
Okay. Well, I've heard a lot because it's been much delayed, isn't it, The Green Inferno?
Yes.
So, but I also heard what I haven't seen it obviously yet, but I heard that the humour was took people out of it. But I kind of guess I don't know. Is it kind of like roughly a remake of Cannibal Ferox or Holocaust? Is it kind of?
I wouldn't really call it a remake of either of those. I mean, it follows, you know, a very similar, you know, kind of storyline of, you know, the Americans captured by the tribe. And but a lot of stuff that happens in this one, you know, it wasn't the same as like Cannibal Ferox or Cannibal Holocaust, I wouldn't say. Just the general idea, I guess, is.
Okay. And Joseph, you saw it as well, didn't you?
Yes, I did. I liked it as well. It's kind of a one-time watch for me. You know, like Nathan said, whenever it gets really suspenseful, it kind of takes you out with some really juvenile kind of toilet humor, I guess you'd call it, which kind of, you know, kills the suspense. But it's definitely gory, and it's definitely never boring. It's got some really good scenery. So I'd give it a marginal thumbs up.
Okay.
It sounds like it could be very like Cabin Fever, which had that same thing where anytime suspense came in.
I don't think it's as bad or over the top as Cabin Fever, but for my money, I still like the first Hostel the best because I think, you know, it gets its juvenile humor out of the way first, and then it just kind of wallows in the suspense portion, you know, in the last part of the film. Whereas The Green Inferno is just like, you know, it's kind of, you know, a mishmash, like, oh my God, it's starting to get really suspenseful. Ha ha ha. They make a joke. I didn't really want it that way, but still it's very entertaining.
Okay, cool. And I take it there's no animal stuff in it.
No.
Well, that's a bonus. So that's good. Anything else, Nathan?
Actually that's the only thing I've watched that I haven't already seen.
Okay. Okay.
Well, you've seen Scream Queens, haven't you?
Hmm.
Oh, I watched the Scream Queens television show, and I'm probably one of the only people that really liked it because it's getting a lot of hate from what I've seen, and I thought it was a lot of fun, but, you know, that's just me.
Well, I'd be interested to. I've watched it as well. Have we all watched it?
Yeah.
Yeah. So what did you
think? No, I did not. No.
Okay. What did you think?
Okay, I don't hate it as much as a lot of other people did, but the first episode I watched attentively. The second episode, I was bored and was constantly going to my iPad and my iPhone and stuff because it just wasn't going anywhere for me. And tonally, it's all over the place. Like Scream, the humor is kind of organic, whereas this one, it's sort of the humor is it gets into scary movie type humor at some points and then tries to revert back to being horror, and it just doesn't work for me. Jamie Lee Curtis is good in it, but all the characters in it are too over the top, and there's just too much heavy emphasis on sort of slapstick comedy for it to work as a horror series for me. I didn't find it particularly funny as a comedy either. So
I'm slightly ambivalent about it as well. I'm kind of hoping that it's going to get better. I mean, there's bits.
That's me as well. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, there's bits in it I thought were really good. It's quite funny, and I think that it's the makings of a good series. But I just couldn't really understand why they've completely jettisoned any kind of suspense or horror from it. Really, completely. I mean, the killer is really just almost an afterthought. Isn't he or she?
Yeah.
There's no suspense scenes. There's no chase scenes. There's no nothing really, is there? It's just kind of, it's almost like a Looney Tunes version of a slasher movie. I think it also might be a generational thing. There was kind of a lot of the stuff but there were bits of stuff that I just didn't get. I think it was going over my head of kind of pop culture references from stuff that teenage girls in America might understand, and maybe Eric does. But
hey.
But I just kind of found it. But I, you know, I thought it needs a bit more. I like the fact that it's got the whole Heathers thing going on and stuff, but it was just too fast, wasn't it? It was too much crammed into their first episode. It needs a little bit of time to breathe. I thought the second episode was a little bit better, actually. Personally, I thought it slowed down a little bit, so it kind of started to get a little bit of its kind of groove. But I don't know where I can't see it can keep up that speed, you know, and where it's going to go. I mean, I'd like to see a bit more of the horror stuff coming into it and the slasher movie stuff. I mean, I liked all the nods to The House on Sorority Row and, you know, all those kind of things. And, you know, obviously Jamie Lee Curtis is fantastic in it, and it's really nice to see her getting her teeth into that kind of role. I mean, I'll stick with it for the time being, but I finished the Scream series as well. Did anyone else finish that?
No.
I didn't even start it. So.
Oh, Werrick.
Unfortunately, I finished it.
I quite enjoyed it. I mean, I thought it was, I quite liked, I especially liked the death scene with the person strapped to the chair and the hay whacker or whatever landing on their head.
Yeah, that was pretty good. My problem is that I've never seen a quote-unquote slasher movie or show in this matter go so out of its way to just not feature any kind of deaths or anything for like multiple episodes, you know, multiple episode stretches. You know, when it starts getting to the killing spree or even the suspenseful stuff towards the end, I don't know, it just felt like too little too late.
I don't know. Again, it was a generational thing. I didn't, you know, that whole thing of having music, all the music sounded exactly the same, and it was like really bland music.
And the little pop-ups every time you watch it to tell you who the artist is. I don't know. I just think that's very, it's just soulless to me. I don't know. It's just it's definitely a generational thing, I think.
Yeah. I would have preferred to seen My Sweet Psycho 16 or whatever it was, My Sweet Psycho 16, but the MTV movie, that the first one was fantastic, and that would have been, it might have made a better thing, but they're doing another series, aren't they? So we'll see what happens. But what about you, Joseph? What have you been watching?
Just The Green Inferno. That's pretty much it for this week.
Okay, right. Okay, what about you, Eric?
Okay, well, I caught up with two recent anthology movies. The first was The ABCs of Death Part 2. Which, as with the original, was not really my cup of tea. Although after watching it, just after watching Aerobicide, it was nice to be able to hear the dialogue. So that was kind of refreshing. I think it was slightly better than the first one. I mean, the inherent problem with ABCs of Death is that it's very difficult to make anything interesting given the time restraints of 3 or 4 minutes per little film. So very few of them entertained me in any way. And the arty, pretentious ones really annoyed me, as they did in the first film as well. The good ones, I'd say, B is for Badger, which was directed and that was good fun, about a radiation-enhanced badger. M is for Masticate. That's Masticate, Justin. It's a good Just Say No campaign video, and also has a nice bit of eye candy in there. Good measure. I sent you a picture, I think, on a private message last week, showing you exactly what I meant.
Was that eye candy?
Sorry?
I thought that was just an old man.
That's eye candy, Justin. Okay. Deal with it. And then Zed is for Zygote as well. Had some very interesting ideas and bizarre imagery, kind of similar to some of the stuff you'd see in Extro. And it lingers long in the memory, certainly. But as for the other 23 entries, instantly forgettable. I know Joseph is a particular hater of this particular movie. Aren't you just Joseph?
Yes. I liked it more than the first one. It definitely has a few more likable entries, but you know, it's pretty much more of the same. I think it's just such a great idea if you would actually, you know, do like a straight horror film instead of all this art house pretentious crap.
Yeah, exactly. Have you seen it, Justin?
No, I haven't seen the first one either. I got put off the first one with the dog fighting.
Yeah.
I just never got around to watching it.
The other one I watched was VHS Viral, and this is the third of the VHS series. Oh, who was that? Was that Joseph, I assume?
Yeah, that's what I think of VHS Viral.
Okay, well, I probably feel slightly differently. I think it featured one decent segment one really good segment and one lackluster segment, because there's kind of three stories and then a wraparound as well. And the wraparound was quite poor. But for me, the decent segment was Dante. Stop making noises. Dante the Great, which is about a magician who finds a demonic cloak that gives him special powers and makes him internationally famous, but at a cost that he has to feed souls to this magical cloak. So it's kind of the old Faustian plot. But I thought it was done quite well. And the second segment was called Parallel Monsters, and this is the one I thought was really good. It was directed by Nacho Vigalondo, who did Time Crimes. And it's about a man called Alfonso who invents a portal to a parallel universe where he meets his alternate self, and they kind of trade places for 15 minutes. And Alfonso discovers that the parallel dimension is quite different to the one that he's used to living in. And I thought it was really, really strong. Did you not like that segment, Joseph? No?
Yeah, that's the one segment I liked in the film. I actually was like, wow, this is pretty good. But the rest and the wrap, yeah. Certainly the wraparound is just pretty awful.
Well, the wraparound doesn't really go anywhere. It's about a guy just chasing his girlfriend's been abducted in an ice cream van, and he goes around chasing it, and it doesn't really lead anywhere.
Yeah. I still think VHS 2 is the best of the lot.
Oh, definitely. And then the last segment of VHS Viral is about some really, really obnoxious skateboarders, like really obnoxious, to the point where I almost wanted to switch the movie off. They travel to Tijuana, and they're making a video of them, you know, whatever. I was going to say a skateboard term, but I don't know any skateboard terms. And they encounter some sort of occult people who, appear, who are killed off and then resurrected as zombies. And they actually look really good. They look like the Blind Dead from the 70s movies. And the effects are really good. And the look of the zombies is really good. It's just a shame that the movie is just so frenetic and has such too much shaky cam, too many obnoxious characters, too much shouting. And it's unbearable to watch almost. And it's really disappointing because it looks like it had the seed of a decent segment was in there, but it didn't work out. But I think VHS Viral is worth watching for that Nacho Vigalondo segment alone.
Yeah, the hook and the Nacho segment, I really thought that was kind of interesting.
Mm.
Or like the payoff, as it were. I won't say what it is, but I was like, okay, that's unusual.
Yes.
Cool. Okay.
You'll never look at a penis or a vagina in the same way ever again.
That's what your last date said. anything else, Eric?
No, that was it. But apparently, sorry, if you buy VHS Fire, I was watching it on Netflix. But if you get the DVD or Blu-ray, there's an extra segment called Gorgeous Vortex, which is directed by Todd Lincoln, who did The Apparition. But I didn't see that one. So.
Okay. Okay. All right. Well, thank you. The only things, well, I've seen a few things. I've mentioned a couple on Facebook, I think. One was Archivo 253, which was a Mexican film. And these were both recommended to me, and I do apologize. I think it's Javier recommended them, but it might not have been Javier. Sorry, I haven't got your... I did lose an email, which I think I mentioned last time. But this is a Mexican found footage movie. About a documentary crew who break into an asylum in Mexico City that's about to be torn down, where some horrific things happened, you know, blah, blah, you know, the kind of what you normally expect. And they spend about three nights in this haunted asylum. It's not as silly as something like Grave Encounters, but it's kind of a similar type of setup, I kind of guess. But I enjoyed it for what it was, but it was very, very kind of familiar, like a lot of found footage is, but even more so that it was essentially kind of borrowed pretty much everything, including the ending, pretty much from Blair Witch Project, which isn't necessarily a bad thing, but it becomes, after a while, it's just too similar to have any kind of resonance or any kind of feel like you're watching anything different. So it was okay for what it was. It was quite well acted. And some good scary sequences, but it was too familiar to really kind of raise any kind of you know, scares or anything really. So has anyone seen that?
No. What was it called again?
Archivo 253.
No, I haven't even heard of that one.
I think it's got a different English title, but that was on Netflix, so you can look that one up. The other one I saw was another Spanish language film, which was Bloody April Fools, which was a slasher movie from Spain, I think from the last couple of years. It's pretty recent. And this one involves a busload of teens who end up at an abandoned hostel where 10 years or 20 years before, a teenage boy got locked in a boiler room and was scalded to death, or maybe not, maybe he wasn't scalded to death, and they get bumped off one by one by somebody in this abandoned hostel. It was actually very, it's really good fun little movie. It really reminded me of films that are slightly tongue in cheek. So something like Slaughter High, it had a very much a Slaughter High kind of feel to it, and a lot of the deaths were quite over the top and quite silly. So, but it had a good kind of blend of scares and silliness. So it was that, yeah. So that was a pleasant find. So another one that was recommended to me. So, and that's a very short movie. It's only just over an hour, but I'd recommend that if you enjoy something like Slaughter High and you want to see like an updated version of it, then I'd check out Bloody April Fools. Did anyone else catch that one?
No, I saw that it's on Netflix, so I'll definitely check it out.
Yeah.
It is.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's on Netflix. I think we've spoken about this before. I did catch Clown. The Eli Roth presented.
Mm-hmm.
About the man who attends his child's birthday party with a clown costume he finds after the clown pulls out, and he can't take it off, and he slowly becomes this kind of creature that's inhabited this. He basically gets transformed into this kind of monster. What?
Like
you said, the clown pulls out.
I know. I was laughing at that as well.
Oh, for goodness sake.
You're dirty, Justin.
What? No, you're the dirty ones. Anyway, I think we've spoken about this before, haven't we? You saw, I think...
saw that one as well, yeah.
Yeah.
So I liked it, I have to say.
I thought it was quite...
I did too.
Quite different. Yeah, it was pretty entertaining.
And it turns into a slasher movie, doesn't it, in the last half an hour?
Yeah.
That's pretty much me, really. But shall we move on to feature presentation?
Yes,
we should.
We should. Well, here is I pulled out again of some dialogue from the film, which, as Eric alluded to, if you've ever watched Killer Workout, aka Aerobicide, you'll understand that the sound department wasn't as up together as it possibly could be. But this is a little bit of dialogue I pulled from the film.
You know, after last night, I was almost convinced that Jimmy Halleck was our man. Together the most, they're all wrong. They have two common denominators in all the murders. All the victims are members of the squad. Number two is one I just couldn't figure out until today. All of them are good looking, beautiful people, in great shape. Perfect bodies, one might say.
Okay, who's going to lead us in on this one?
I shall lead us in.
Okay, go on. Take it away, Nathan, please.
Okay. So you got this Rhonda, and she's got a gym, and okay, so I can't rap. I wanted to get
leave
that
in. To MC Sexy Man.
Yeah, in case y'all, thought I was going to try to copy Eric, so no, it didn't happen.
You should. I encourage this.
So Killer Workout is a movie about a gym which is run by the pleasant, happy-go-lucky Rhonda. And the members of the gym are being stalked by a killer dressed all in black, wielding a giant safety pin. It's a very interesting choice for a weapon, I have to say. So Killer Workout, I saw it many, many years ago when I was a kid, and I really loved it. So, of course, I still love it today. I love the characters. I think that... Rhonda is hilariously over the top to me, because I kid about her being happy-go-lucky. She's like one of the most unpleasant people. Like, I don't know how anybody would want to be around her for more than like just a few minutes, because she's angry. She's angry all the time. I don't think she's ever happy once in this whole movie, which, it serves a purpose.
She's happy at the end, isn't she?
Yeah, but not the kind. It's more the evil happy.
And she has a laugh when she finds Jamie with the jockstrap.
Yeah.
Oh, so there is a scene where she's kind of happy. How odd. I have to say the weapon is inventive but ridiculous. I mean, how many times would you have to stab somebody, I mean, in reality, with a safety pin to kill them? I mean, in this movie, it's like a few times, and that's enough to kill them, apparently.
It is a giant safety pin, isn't it?
Yeah, but yeah. Still.
Yeah, I know.
There are more practical ways to go about your business than a giant safety pin.
Exactly.
All right. So the killer, spoiler alert, turns out to be Rhonda, who is the woman from the beginning who burns up in the tanning bed. And I found that, I wanted to ask you guys, did you guess her motive or who the killer was, I should say?
I've seen it before, so I can't remember.
I can't remember what I thought when I was watching it first. I mean, she is kind of the obvious choice for the killer when you're watching it in retrospect, but I don't know if I thought that at the time.
Yeah. Oh, and I have to bring up the soundtrack. I absolutely love, the music in this film. It's so 80s, and that's what I love about it, along with the fashion and the hair. I mean, we could talk for a few minutes, actually, about Debbie's hair in this movie, especially during the kill scene.
Which one was Debbie? She was
Debbie?
She's the one who goes with them to vandalize. Because Justin even has in his review that a girl, and he actually puts in the body count, a girl with big hair is killed.
That was Eric.
I did that review.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. So, her hair is absolutely ridiculous, which is something I liked about it. But, and like we were joking about in the beginning, I love the fact that all these people keep going back to this gym despite all the deaths that keep, or all the murders, I should
say,
that keeps happening.
It is very eyeball, yeah.
And there's one scene where they're actually zipping up a body in a body bag while they're having a workout class in the next room. I'm like, these people just don't care. And the cops apparently don't feel the need to shut the gym down at any point to investigate. It's just come pick up a body and leave. And then you got the one cop that hangs around questioning people that, doesn't really go anywhere till the end.
I did like the fact that one of the orderlies, or whatever they call the people who take the bodies away, said to the sergeant, "I'll see you tomorrow."
Yeah. All right. So, Eric, what did you think of Aerobicide?
Okay. Well, on my review that I did for Justin, which would be about 15 years ago now, I'd say I gave it a 2 out of 5. Now, my opinion hasn't changed that much. I think it's a half decent movie. I like the time capsule, gaudy mid 80s elements of it. One of my favorite films from this era is a Jamie Lee Curtis film, as we're talking about the wonderful Jamie Lee Curtis, called Perfect with John Travolta. And it's like Aerobicide without the aside bit. It's, if you replace the killer with a Rolling Stone reporter, then you have Perfect. And it's wall-to-wall gaudy leotards and bending over to 80s tunes. And that's what makes it so fantastic. And that's what makes Aerobicide entertaining because...
Eric, have we lost Eric?
I think we did.
Lost Eric in mid-flow. Let us pause just there and see if we can get him back.
That is the main thing I find entertaining about it, because the horror elements don't engage me that much at all. I had this on VHS on the UK Satanica label, and as we were saying, like the audio isn't bad, it's the dialogue is awful. I mean, the sound effects and the music are fine, it's just the audio is buried deep in the mix, or else it's really, really muffled at times. And I mean, the film isn't exactly Shakespeare, so you can kind of work out what's going on. But it still makes it a frustrating viewing experience when you constantly have to adjust the volume levels up and down, to hear the dialogue. But, I mean, there is plenty in the film that I like. As you were saying, Nathan, I love the fashions, the leotards that crawl up the backsides of the ladies in the gym, giving them what Monica and friends called the atomic wedgie. And there's also there's more than a few instances of camel toe, especially the bigger the screen you watch, the more camel toe you're going to see. I like the character Jamie also, the ditzy blonde. Is somebody asleep?
Oh, I'm sorry. It's the dog. He's laying next to me.
Yes. So I thought somebody was snoring. Yeah, I like the character Jamie also. She's the ditzy blonde who, as we were saying, she likes to rummage around in men's locker rooms and wave their underpants in the air for no apparent reason. And she also seems to wear leg warmers on her arms, which is a new fashion trend I wasn't aware of in the 80s. The And the workout scenes reminded me of what Axel, speaking of Axel, the dog, what Axel was watching in the morgue at the start of Friday the 13th, the final chapter. So I can see why he was so entertained. He was probably, I know this was, that was made before Aerobicide. He should be looking into the future. And I liked the kids who come along and spray paint the word Aerobicide and Death Spa. We'll get back to that in a minute. On the window of Rhonda's gym, just before they appear on screen, the camera is focused on a parking meter in the foreground, and it has the sign "time expired" on it, which I thought was a fun little touch because the kids are about to be killed, including that, you know, the one with the enormous hair. And the music is fabulous. The opening theme song, you know, the opening theme music over the credits sounded exactly like Halloween. Did anyone pick up on that? Except it had a woman and it had an aerobics instructor shouting over it. But for all intents and purposes, it was Halloween. No? Am I the only one?
No, no, definitely, definitely.
It's kind of an up-tempo Halloween sort of
thing. Yeah, yeah. And then the songs within the film are wonderful, like, "Hey, baby, you sure look sexy." Aerobicide, "We're going to work out till we die." And I love the innuendo-laden lyric, "I've got the apple, warm and juicy, red and sweet." She's talking about her fanny, I think.
No, that's not what she's talking about. Fanny's different over there. That's rough.
Yes, it is, yeah.
Did you hear the lyric about something about if you don't want to be hippo, get to the gym?
Yeah. I was wondering if I heard that correctly. Yeah.
Well, that's what I heard just when we coming into the show. There was something about a hippo.
That's what I heard as well, actually. On the negative side, I thought it's a tad plodding and dull when it's not being when it's not people in Lycra jumping up and down to fabulous 80s music. It really could have, if it had the slasher panache, so to speak, of Friday the 13th, this could have been the perfect movie for me because, I adore the 80s fashions and the 80s music and I adore my slasher movies. I just don't think the two meld quite well within this film. As I said, the horror film is kind of ineffective. The giant safety pin is quite an unusual choice for a murder weapon. I'm not sure it's the most visually interesting though. That's possibly where, you know, things fall down, is that it's just the murder scenes are quite repetitive. And then there's no real suspense or mystery in the film. And as usual for an 80s slasher movie, there's no eye candy for me, you know, give me ABCs of Death 2 anytime. And there's a strange moment halfway through Aerobicide where a sort of a nothing background character called Tommy has a dream sequence where he's being straddled by Jamie, who's then killed by his doppelganger. And I mean, it just feels really out of place and a bizarre choice to give sort of this, what would feel like an important dream sequence to such a peripheral character. But I guess it's just in there to sort of shoehorn in another false scare to keep things lively. So killer workout. Overall, I like the workout bit. The killer bit, I'm not so mad on. You know, I know this is coming out in Blu-ray later in the year on I can't remember what label, but I think it's on a label that doesn't really do extras and or bonus features at all. So I don't expect it to be a sort of Scream Factory style release. But if they could give the dialogue a good scrubbing up, then, you know, I might be tempted to purchase it. So a marginal recommendation for me, but possibly only for the music and the cornucopia of people jumping up and down in Lycra with big boobs and camel toe.
Fair enough. Justin?
I'd probably echo what Eric said, actually. A lot of it I find quite charming in a kind of retro kind of way and the 80s thing, and there's a lot of humour in there. And there's a lot I appreciate. One of the things that I found kind of everything ground to a halt when there was a fight scene, because there are about three or four action style fight scenes with the director's brother, wasn't it? Was it Ted Pryor? Having fisticuffs with the other gorilla man from the gym. So that happened several times, and it was just kind of, it was kind of not out of place because obviously the type of films that David A. Pryor made, obviously it fits into that canon. But it was for a slasher movie, it was kind of, you know, you might get one fist fight, but, you know, you don't want too many fistings, do you, Eric?
It can never have too many fistings, Justin.
No,
never.
Okay, quite right. But I mean, there's a lot to like in there. I mean, I think the dialogue did really the sound, and whether or not that was the fault of the production, or it was kind of the post production, something went wrong, or the only things are out. And I'd be interested, like Eric said, if it came out on Blu-ray and there was a decent release when you can actually hear what they were saying most of the time, that would be good. There were some good. I liked the knife through the car roof scene. I thought that was quite good. I mean, it's not original, but it was quite well done. I also liked Rhonda's gold balloon pants in the
amazing
second to last scene. I thought that was quite funny. The whole idea that that we've already spoiled it, that the Rhonda was a top fashion model, which obviously makes you kind of you know, you have to leave suspend disbelief at that point anyway. So she was going to be on the cover of Cosmopolitan until she got burnt, basically charcoaled in this sunbed, which I thought maybe is a stretch that might have inspired the scene in I Still Know What You Did Last Summer.
Why didn't her face get burnt though?
Well, exactly.
Her arms?
She's got like her completely bald head, and she puts on this kind of poodle wig that you see towards the end of the film, and her boobs are all burnt. But her face isn't burnt at all. So, but the idea of her that being her motive, I thought was it's quite fun for an 80s movie. But obviously, by this point, but in the 80s, it was quite knowing. You know, I don't think the film intended to take itself seriously. It wasn't like a serious slasher movie. But I liked the woman who played Rhonda. I thought she was quite good in it. You know, I mean, a lot of the other actors and actresses were quite slightly, how can I put, slightly broad, where she was, Rhonda was kind of, I thought was quite a good villain in it. And it was so ridiculous, this idea that you could just be killing people left, right and centre in this gym. And she would be going from wearing lycra and sort of leg warmers one minute to black gloves and a black leather coat next minute, and then back in the lycra within 20 seconds. It was all pretty ridiculous, but it was fun. But I don't think it was paced very well. I think I started to lose interest about halfway through. I started to, it didn't, you know, I wasn't fully engaged with it. I think there were too many stretches of boring things. And I include the fight scenes in that. The fight scenes weren't particularly well choreographed. They weren't thrilling in any way. It was just, you know, watching a two muscle Marys throwing punches at each other and, you know, missing. So it had a lot of potential. I just wish it was a bit better than it actually was. But for all of the 80s cheesiness and lycra and tunes and all that kind of stuff, and the slasher movie stylings, then, you know, it gets a partial thumbs up from me. But I just wish it had been a little bit better, if I'm honest.
Joseph?
I would, I guess, agree with Justin and Eric. It's definitely a David Pryor film. It's very badly choreographed and stilted, but you know, I think what I got out of it the most is just the unintentional humor and the fashions. That's really what saves it. The slasher story is kind of, I guess I'd call it maybe just ho-hum, maybe. And every time the detective shows up, I was getting really bored with it. And especially since it always seems to be his dialogue you really can't hear, especially towards the end when you find out who the murderer is. Now, I do have to give the film some credit. The first time I watched it, I didn't pick out who was doing the killing or certainly their motive. That kind of threw me for a loop, which is kind of rare for these types of films. So I give it points for that. I don't know. It's just inconsequential. It's a time capsule, but there's really not much else to it other than it being a time capsule. There's no real thrills. There's no real spills or anything like that. It's just, if you watch this, it's definitely for the very bad fashions, the very big hair and, all the bouncing and, you know, close-ups of people's glutes and legs and arms and all that stuff. For my money, I don't think the Pryor brothers really did anything better than Killer Workout. I think this is probably their pinnacle. You know, I'm not saying it's a terrible film. It's definitely entertaining in its own right, but, you know, as something, you know, memorable, I wouldn't call it, you know, a revelation or anything. It's just, it is what it is. It's just this big, you know, aerobic time capsule with a few slasher murders thrown in here and there. I definitely agree with Justin, all the cheesy fight scenes. I actually got a kick out of them because of how badly they were choreographed. And Ted Pryor's mullet is just, oh my God, it has to be seen to be believed. I'd give it a marginal thumbs up. I mean, just for the time period. Other than that, you know, if
you could probably do a lot better, I'd say.
Yeah, you call fashions bad. I have to pull you up on that. Surely you meant brilliant.
No, I did not.
Have you guys seen any other? I mean, I know David Pryor did Sledgehammer. That's the only other David Pryor film I've ever seen. Have you seen any of his other work?
Yeah, he did a very blatant ripoff of Predator in the 90s with a Powers Booth and Wilford Brimley called Mutant Species. And it's absolutely hilarious. It's probably my favorite Pryor film. I love it.
I've seen the three. I mean that you mentioned, but I don't think that's all that I've seen of his.
Didn't he do Deadly Prey as well?
He did. Yeah.
Mm. And that's supposed to be a bit of a trash classic, isn't it?
Yeah, it's kind of funny as well. It's definitely a time capsule as well.
Cool. Okay. Well. Nathan, do you want to defend the film anymore? Because you seem to be
I obviously liked it better than you three did, and I think it's all kinds of little things that I like about it. As Justin mentioned, Rhonda, she kind of has big hair throughout the film, but when she is supposed to be putting on her wig, it is so obviously not the hair that she's had throughout this whole movie, and it's so huge. I mean, it's huge. It looks ridiculous.
That's one of the many joys of Aerobicide.
I thought for the budget they were working with, I thought the burn makeup on her was actually pretty well done.
Hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, it was. I mean, it's not bad. I mean, yeah, considering.
And I love, as Eric said, Jamie's probably my favorite character in the movie because she's so ridiculous and playing with the jock straps and the. In the locker room was different, but you gotta love when she's introduced. Of course, she drops her purse and all her condoms fall out. So they pretty much tell you she's kind of the slutty girl at the gym. But like I love the beginning because when Jamie shows up, Rhonda's mad at her for being late, and Jamie just kind of has the attitude of I'm sorry, okay. And like 5 minutes after Jamie shows up, Rhonda's like, okay, well, let's lock up for the night. So I'm like, Jamie showed up for work like 5 minutes before they close.
I know she's like, supposed to be taking
why
that
even
class,
bother
she?
Showing up? It makes no sense.
She's there to just do the 7 minute abs and then go home.
Right. That's it. She teaches that class. But it reminded me of Bloody Birthday when. Lori Lathene's character Joyce shows up for class and gets, she gets scolded for being late. And then 5 minutes later, the class is let out for the day. So it's just kind of one of those movie things where when you sit back and think about it, you're like, okay, it doesn't make sense why they would even show up. Like, I just wouldn't have gone to work if I'm going to show up, because I get off work at, say, 6 o'clock. I'm going to show up at 5:55 and be like, okay, I'm here to do 5 minutes and I'm going home.
Yeah.
But I mean, Killer Workout's just one of those childhood movies for me, I think. I mean, I watched it so many times as a child. So it's burned into my brain.
No pun intended. What do we all think of the chick who dresses head to toe in pink? And she's the one who cops off with Ted Pryor. The drink about swimming pool, and she's got enormous hair, and then she drops her gown and she's got the most enormous boobs.
Oh,
I'm shouting over a plane or something. Sorry.
Was that your plane? Not your plane, but was that
no.
Your house?
I don't know. No. I don't own a plane. No.
No. No, but was it? Oh, no. Anyway. But,
I know you're talking about. That's yeah. Debbie.
With yeah, the sun she visor. Has the most enormous boobies. I mean, there's Lolo Ferrari and then there's her.
Do you think she was chosen for those assets?
Sorry?
Do you think she was chosen for those assets?
Possibly, yeah. Mm.
I think that when she got killed... Head... Oh, go ahead.
So I was just going to say, her hair makes her head look too big for her body as well. Mm.
I like it with her, like a sun visor she has when she sees the first fight scene. She stands there and looks concerned, doesn't she?
Sun visors were very in back then.
Yes, yeah. But yeah, there was a lot of big hair in this, wasn't there?
A lot. And split ends, which I know you have an issue with, Justin.
What's that? Split ends?
Split ends, yeah.
Why would I have an issue with that?
Well, you're always pointing them out in movies.
Oh, you're right, yeah.
Yeah,
that's a little trope. But yeah, also I felt a bit sorry for the black woman who died in the shower scene, because that was probably I don't know, it felt a bit uncomfortable because they were showing her, like, you know, washing her bottom and things like that, and then she's I don't know, it wasn't very glamorous, was it? It wasn't, there was no psycho, was it, that shower scene murder?
No, but she didn't. No. She got some screen time doing some great pouting earlier when she was doing the workout.
Yes, that's true. That is true. So
I remember the picture and the review on Justin's site of that woman, just her face.
Yeah, it's brilliant. Yeah,
I do too. It's now that you mention that,
it's the essence of Aerobicide distilled into one picture.
Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. It's probably the worst business model known, isn't it, really? You know, to be running a gym and killing all your patrons. It's not the best business model in the world.
I don't know how she pays her rent.
And not only that, but she kills off all her instructors. I mean, you need people to work for you to run these classes.
But who was the shadowy senior partner?
Because you don't know.
We
never find out, do we? Because I thought there was going to be some twist with a senior partner would turn out to be the killer or something. But she keeps on talking about a senior partner, you know, making decisions, but we never see them.
Did you guys like after the one girl was killed and the detective busts in, Rhonda jumps through a second story window, lands on the ground, and just runs off like nothing happened. I mean, she's tough, obviously.
And her wig didn't even fly off, did it?
No. And I love the detective, like, it's the middle of the night, you know, and he's like the worst detective, and he's banging on the door to this girl's apartment, and all he's going open up, and I'm like, he don't even identify himself at first as a police officer, he's just banging on the door yelling open it.
So,
and I love at the end when he thinks he's going to be like this this hero who's going to take out the killer after, because basically at the end they assume that Jimmy was the killer when really it was Rhonda, and he knows, the detective knows that Rhonda's the actual killer, so he's going to take her out and kill her himself, and he decides to give this
in her gold pants.
Oh yeah, this is the legendary gold pants that she wears. And then he spends all his time looking away from her, leaving a shovel right next to her, and just looking out in the distance, talking about his motives for this. And you can't really blame Rhonda. I mean, she just took the opportunity and took him out instead.
Yeah. It's kind of a reverse on the whole talking killer fallacy. Here it's the talking hero fallacy that allows the killer to, you know, do away with him. I thought that was kind of interesting. But he's the whole time he's like,
yeah, that's exactly his dialogue too. Because I really tried to listen to what he was saying, but that is the worst like spot in the movie for me.
I mean, it wasn't his fault, was it? I think it was the sound person.
It's just the sound, I think.
Yeah.
I love Rhonda's evil grin at the end too.
But it's kind of everyone's welcoming her back, aren't they, to the gym. And all these people have come back, even though lots of people have died there and no one seems in the least bit bothered or even noticed, really. And they're welcoming her back as if she's like, you know, sort of homecoming queen.
I wonder if now that after her murder spree, I wonder if she franchised any more locations for sequel purposes. That'd been interesting.
Very possible.
Well, it looked like she was planning on killing more people with that giant safety pin, so... Mm. You know, I'm guessing that she's just going to move on to that again. Maybe next time they should have did a part two and had her use two safety pins.
Well, some other ridiculous thing from the bathroom, like a nail file.
A thumbtack, yeah.
Oh, God.
Giant push pin. There you go.
Yeah.
I got it playing on in the background, and it's the scene where we first realized that Rhonda's wearing the wig. And just looking at this wig, it's terrible.
It's the most amazing wig ever.
Is it worse than Jamie Lee's wig in Halloween 2, do you think?
I like her wig in Halloween 2.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't mind it. I know people, you know, go on about it, but it's not that bad, is it? Not as bad as Rhonda's wig.
Mm. No. No, Rhonda's wig is worse. They could have at least trimmed it, you know. Mm. Made a little light on the poofy side.
So, do we want to talk a little bit about some background? Have you got any background, Nathan? Do you have anything for us?
Unfortunately, I don't have a lot on this one. I spoke to David Pryor years ago, and I talked to him a little bit about this movie. And I mean, you know, he didn't say a whole lot. You know, I think at the time he was working on a release for Sledgehammer, so you know, he didn't really have a whole lot to say about this one. You know, just that, you know, he had a good time making it, and you know, I think he, if I remember right, he did compliment Marsha Carr, who plays Rhonda, as being like the better actor in the film, which I agree with. You know, if you guys have ever seen Chained Heat with Linda Blair, Marsha Carr's in it too, and in it she plays like a weak, you know, goody two shoes, mousy type character, and it's the total opposite of Rhonda. So, you know, I think she's a, you know, a pretty good actress actually.
Cool. Do we okay. Well, thank you, Nathan. Is anything else you've got?
No, unfortunately.
No. Okay. Well, Eric, how about you?
Okay. Well, Marsha Carr was also a casting director apparently on Cheerleader Camp. And she also appeared as an actress in Maniac Cop and Savage Streets. Ted Pryor, the big muscle mullet dude, he was apparently Playgirl Man of the Month centerfold in March 1984. For he's so hot, I want to do him. I'm being sarcastic, by the way. He's married to a woman called Ray Hollett. Now, I don't watch American Gladiators, but apparently she was Zap on American Gladiators.
Oh, really?
Yep.
Oh, wow. That's
I loved that show.
And he worked on some of the special effects and set design on this film as well. Of course, being brother to the director, I'm sure he had to help out. David Winters, who's the director of the last horror film, which we covered before, he first came up with the idea of mixing a slasher movie with the then contemporary craze of aerobics. And it was his brother Mark Winters who came up with the $94,000 budget. Interiors were shot at a real health spa during the night, obviously, when the spa was closed. And Justin, I didn't know about this. There's a society in your city called the Bristol Bad Film Club. It's the alternative BBFC. Have you heard about this?
Yes, I know.
Yes. They showed David Pryor's film Deadly Prey last September at the Redgrave Theatre, and they had an interview with him on their website, but unfortunately he doesn't have a huge amount to say about Aerobicide, because they're concentrating mainly on Deadly Prey, obviously, which was the film they were showing. So, I thought it was funny that there's an alternative BBFC, the Bristol Bad Film Club. Yeah. And that's all I have, apart from, as I was saying earlier when I was mentioning it, somebody does spray paint the word Death Spa on the outside the gym. And of course, Death Spa then became the title of a movie a few years later. I was looking up to see if there was a connection between the two films, but I couldn't find any. I just think that they must have just taken the title from Aerobicide and just run with it. I just thought maybe the same production company might have done the two films, but it doesn't seem to be that way.
Yeah, no, I don't know if that wasn't, it may have just been a complete coincidence, because it was a Witch Bitch, wasn't it, as well?
Yeah, it was known as Witch Bitch over here and Death Spa in the States. Mm.
Cool. Okay, well, thank you, Eric. What about you, Joseph? You got anything?
No, I don't have anything.
No, okay. Well, I've only got a little bit. I think Eric's probably got the most there, but when I look back through Variety, the film back in May 1984, it was... there were talk at Cannes about a film called Aerobicide, which was described as a musical thriller. So I do wonder if that was where David Winters, possibly his involvement, came from. It seems like it was shot in late 1985, maybe the early 1986. Originally there was an idea of being released, limited release on screens in the States, but I don't think that ever happened. But it was filmed as Aerobicide and released to American VHS as Killer Workout. I think that's right, isn't it? Don't know if anyone...
I don't know.
Did you see it as Aerobicide or Killer Workout?
Yeah, the Killer Workout. Sorry, guys, my Skype was breaking up really bad. But yes, it was on VHS over here as Killer Workout.
Okay. Because when I saw the copyright information, it was registered in 1985 as Aerobicide, and there's no mention of Killer Workout in in anywhere until it came out on VHS. So that it was the original shooting title was Aerobicide. And I don't think it got a release over here, did it, Eric, until that Satanica release?
Not that I'm aware of, no.
So, I mean, to be honest, that's pretty much it. I mean, obviously, we spoke about Sledgehammer, and that was his. That was the claimed to be the first ever shot on video slasher movie, didn't it? From 1983.
Sledgehammer. We haven't covered it, have we?
No, I don't think we have. Have we?
We need to pick it at some point.
Yeah.
I mean, it's the only slasher movie I know where the guy chooses to flirt with his girlfriend by balancing his beer can on her head during a romantic walk.
We've all done it, haven't we?
Yeah.
Usually it's a vodka bottle in my case.
Well,
that was Aerobicide. So do you feel like you've had a good workout, Nathan?
Yes, I'm exhausted.
Okay. So should we all go and get some Hard Rock hairspray and go into the showers and back home?
I should say also that Killer Workout, aka Aerobicide, is the movie I use as my excuse to never ever go to a tanning bed.
Well,
Art with Jim.
Yeah, there you go. That's a good idea too. But a lot of people are, you know, who are obsessed with being tanned for some reason. I've never been in a tanning bed in my life, and there have been times people are like, "Oh, you should go. You should get a tan." And I just tell them, nope, I say, because I do not want to burn up in a tanning bed, survive, and then decide to murder people who look better than me.
Well, exactly. Just imagine if you could end up looking like Tan Mom.
I don't know which is worse.
Yes, Tan Mom. Do you know Tan Mom? She was the it was a couple of years ago now, she got in the news because she was taking her, was it her baby or her very young child to a tanning saloon?
Yeah.
But yeah, rings a bell now, yeah.
She was a kind of colour of mahogany and very wrinkled. Like, she's looked like something that had been buried under peat for about 6 years or 600 years. And then she kind of became a cool celebrity for a little while.
That's some serious heavy breathing.
Yeah, somebody's breathing really loud.
So Michael Myers in the house.
Yeah.
Right, well, shall we go on to, let's go back to some feedback. So, here is how you can contact the show, and we'll come back in a minute with some feedback, and well, actually, we'll come back with Eric's Joke of the Week, I think.
Okay. Be sure to search for and like us on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter at @THC_podcast. Our voicemail is 858-233-9281, and you can email us directly at the.hysteria.continues@gmail.com.
And welcome back. So before we get into some feedback, we are going to be going on to Eric's Joke of the Week. If I can find the joke jingle. Here we go. I think this is the right one. So, Eric, are you ready?
I am ready.
It's my joke of the week. It's so fantastic.
Okay, first of all, I was horrified at your reaction to the joke of the week last week. I thought it was really good, and you were quite vitriolic about it.
It wasn't just us, Eric. It was everyone on the internet.
I know. My secret shame. This I'll make up for this week, though. This I haven't even done the joke yet, and you're playing the trumpet.
Trombone.
Trombone, sorry. How do you taunt a chocoholic who is trying to lose weight at the gym? Mm. You put an arrow beside him. She's crying because she doesn't know what an arrow is. An arrow is a bubbly chocolate treat. It might be only UK-based, and she might be an American girl who doesn't understand the joke.
I got it, Eric. I actually liked that one. Good one.
That was a good one. Do you have arrows in the States?
No, I have no idea what that is until Eric said what it was.
It's chocolate treat, and it's bubbly and delicious.
Oh, yes. I haven't had an arrow for years because they're not, well...
Vegan-friendly, yes.
Yeah. But I always thought they were a bit of a swizz because basically they sold them on the fact they had bubbles of air inside. But doesn't that just mean less chocolate?
It does mean less chocolate.
So it's not a bit
which means you have,
really.
You have to buy two of them.
Yes. Well, okay. Well, thank you, Eric. It was worth the wait, wasn't it?
Who are you talking to?
I don't know. But I think...
Hey! The joke's over and you're still playing bells.
I was just saying it's worth the wait, wasn't it?
Oh, anyway, Eric.
Okay, well, let's get on to some feedback. We've actually, this time, there was we do have feedback, and also there was a lot of feedback on the Facebook page, wasn't there, for Aerobicide. So I'm sure we'll get onto that a little bit later. But who would like to go first?
I will.
Okay.
This is from Steve Yacht. He says, just a short one here. Been enjoying the last two podcasts. No, they're not slashers, but still fun. I'd never heard of Sightseers. Thanks for making me aware of it. I'm looking forward to hearing your thoughts on my pick this week. Killer workout. So I guess it was Steve Yacht and not Stephen Green.
I'll have to double Joseph. Check that.
I was completely unaware of this one until I blind bought the VHS at a local used video shop about 10 years ago. It sat on the shelf for a while, but when I finally popped it in, it put a huge smile on my face. The movie is just cheese gold for me, from the dialogue, outfits, music, etc. Love it. Looking forward to hearing your opinions. By the way, with a Blu-ray coming out soon, any chance you'll be covering the Mutilator in the coming months? Maybe, maybe not. We'll see. Also, big fan of your commentaries here. Hope there's more coming. Steve Yacht, P.S. An old topic, but Eric is right. Halloween 4 blows. Why this tends to be a fan favorite, I'll never understand. I'll watch part 5 over it any day of the week, and I agree with him there.
I agree with him too, Steve.
Yeah.
Part 4 is just so boring.
It's so boring. It is. I was looking back to our list of listener picks, Joseph, and it is Stephen Green. Stephen E. Green.
Yeah, I'm wondering if Yacht is a pen name, because I'm looking at my little spreadsheet here, and it does have Steve. Oops, sorry. Can you edit that out? I didn't mean to say his email address over the thing. Yeah, Stephen E. Green. Just edit that out.
Do you want to? Okay, you're going to read out his credit card details as well, Eric. What about chip and pin? Have we got Steve's chip and pin?
I do.
Okay. Right. So, anyway, so if any other listeners want to send us personal details that we can read out online, then please do. Is that everything in his email?
Yes.
Yes. Well, thank you, Steve. And thank you for the choice as well. We did have fun revisiting Aerobicide. And I know you probably thought that Nathan would be your soulmate on this one. But I think we all got a little something from it. So thank you. Thank you, Steve. So who would like to go next?
I'll go.
Okay.
I've got one here. It says, "Hey, guys, is it true that Justin fell over a couch while singing karaoke last night?" Well, I think it is true. He did. We've got photographic evidence of it.
I didn't fall
over.
Is that
right, Justin?
I fell backwards onto a couch. I slipped. Yeah. It was quite slippery.
Yeah. Everything's slippery after 17 bottles of vodka.
Hardly. Well, actually, as you can probably tell, I'm not that hungover, am I?
No,
do I sound hungover?
Not. No. Okay, the real feedback then. Okay. Hey, guys. Brendan Klein here. I really enjoyed your Terminator episode, and despite the controversy, I feel it's a lot closer to a slasher than most people give it credit for. A mostly silent, unstoppable killer, a kick-ass final girl, and a sprawling franchise sounds slashery to me. I also appreciated your tribute to Wes Craven. We just did a whole episode about his body of work, and shocker especially, on my own podcast, Scream 101, and I noticed that a couple of my favorites didn't get a shout-out. I'm hardly offended, but I anxiously want to know what you guys think of Red Eye, a delicious nail-biting thriller, not pillow-biting, Eric. I don't know why that comment was directed specifically at me.
Well, I wonder.
I think Justin probably has more red eyes than any of us.
Or I don't even know why that's rude. Our Deadly Blessing, a slow but speedy early.
What the fuck was that?
I was trying not to laugh, but I just love that Eric said to himself, "Oh, I don't even know how that was rude."
Oh, I guess. Do you not know what a red eye is, Eric?
Well, I can kind of guess, but
no. It's basically a drink you drink to get rid of a hangover.
Oh no, I didn't know that. Sorry.
There's just a lot of misunderstandings. I feel like we're in Three's Company.
Yes, it is.
Coming knock on our door.
Okay, I'm hardly offended, but I anxiously want to know what you guys think of Red Eye or Deadly Blessing, which is a slow but cerebral early slasher with a wicked ending. Also, has anyone seen Music of the Heart? It's actually kind of decent if you're into that sort of thing, and Meryl Streep begins her reign of terror by pushing a kid with leg braces into the wall. She might actually be more violent than Freddy Krueger when it comes down to it. I'm also indecently excited for your killer workout episode. That might just be the kick in the pants I need to catch up with it. What a great title. And that comes in from Brennan Klein. Well, thank you, Brennan.
Well, thank you, Brennan.
Red Eye, I did enjoy. I saw it in the cinema. I haven't seen it since, so that must be about 10 years ago. Hmm. I did enjoy it. Didn't think it was particularly anything special, but I thought it was good popcorn entertainment. What do you guys think of Red Eye?
I agree. Yeah. I thought it was really suspenseful, you know, until it kind of turned into like Home Alone towards the last 10 minutes. But other than that, I liked it.
Mm. Nathan, have you seen Red Eye?
Yeah, I watched it. It's been probably about a couple years ago, I would say. And I really, really enjoyed it. It was a lot of fun. It was very entertaining. But unfortunately, it's just one of those movies that, you know, it's kind of forgettable.
Mm. It did really well at the box office for him, though, didn't it?
Yeah.
Mm. Justin, you've seen Red Eye, have you?
Yeah, I saw it when it came out. And again, I don't actually remember that much about it. Is it Cillian Murphy and Rachel McAdams?
Cillian, sorry.
Yeah. I remember it being good, but I don't remember that much. It's not a film I've revisited, so I probably do a revisit. And as far as Deadly Friends, without spoiling
Deadly Blessing.
Anything, Deadly Blessing. Oh, we're talking Deadly Blessing rather than Deadly Friends. Okay. Yeah.
Can you guys hear the airplane?
I feel like Simpsons I'm reference. Right next. I'm feeling right next to that the airport over here.
They had the dryer on. What?
I feel like Karen Black in Airport 75.
Yeah.
Deadly Blessing.
Deadly Blessing. So, yeah.
Okay. Deadly Blessing is a slasher movie, which it doesn't get credit for much, does it? But it, I think it's a really good little movie, actually, and it's kind of got quite a creepy tone to it. And I even like the silly ending that was Craven was forced to.
Well, so do I, yeah.
Yeah.
But, and of all the films where a big spider falls into Sharon Stone's mouth, it's my favorite, I'd say.
Yeah. But no, I thought it was good. I mean, you can argue The Hills Have Eyes quite easily that it's a slasher movie, couldn't you? And certainly part two.
Mm-hmm. Well, so, yeah, we've covered part two, so.
Yeah. So, I'd like to cover Deadly Blessing in some more detail at some point in a future episode.
Yeah. What do you guys think of Deadly Blessing?
I love it. I think Deadly Blessing is probably one of his more underrated films.
I would agree.
And it's got a Dynasty-style catfight at the end.
And what do we think of Music of the Heart? I saw this back in the day as well. I thought it was all right. What are you laughing at me? Because I'm a girl, because I liked Music of the Heart.
Yes,
sir. I've never seen it.
I've not seen it either. I don't know.
I don't remember much about it, but isn't it one of those teacher gets underprivileged kids to succeed at something type movies?
By throwing them into a wall?
Yeah, I don't remember anyone being thrown into a wall, in fairness.
Leg braces.
No. And Gloria Estefan is in it as well.
Oh, dear.
Yeah.
It's
not one I would ever seek out to watch again, I have to say.
Okay.
Right. But I do remember it being better than Shocker.
Right, okay.
Which isn't difficult.
I like Shocker.
Blood Lake is better than Shocker.
Eric.
I like Blood Lake too.
Yeah.
We know, Nathan. We know.
Yes. We know, yes.
So, we'll have to check out the podcast. What was the podcast going? Was it Scream 101?
Scream 101, yeah.
Okay. Scream as in Scream the film or Scream?
Exactly.
Movie? Okay.
No, Scream. Yeah.
Scream. Okay. So there's lots of confusion going on. But no, thank you for your email and we'll check you out. So thanks for listening to our show. And talking of podcasts, has anyone else listened to the Black Tapes podcast?
No.
No, mm-hmm. That's definitely worth checking out. I'll just leave it there. So
Black Tapes.
The Black Tapes podcast. Yeah, it's I won't it's somebody investigating paranormal phenomena and they interview somebody, and they've got a load of VHS tapes which've got unsolved paranormal things on them, and they investigate one each episode.
So it's an audio podcast or video podcast?
Audio podcast.
Oh.
The Black Tapes podcast. Yeah, it's definitely worth a listen. Let me know what you think. But shall I go next? I've got quite a long one here.
And it may take, sure. It
may take me a little while to do it all.
Did you get the voicemail I sent?
Yes. Shall we do the voicemail first?
Sure.
Let's do the voicemail first. We haven't had a voicemail for a while, so here is the voicemail.
Hello, gentlemen. This is Brett calling you. It's been a while. I'm sorry. But I just listened to your Terminator show. I've been behind, so I'm catching up. Terminator is one of my favorite movies ever. It's like probably my third favorite movie of all time. And I think it's definitely got elements of horror. I first watched it when I was a kid, and I didn't think this is a sci-fi movie, this is an action movie. I just thought this is a horror movie because it's about a killer chasing a lady. Nothing can stop him. And he's going to get her. I was like, this is horror. And then as I got a little older, I realized it is action. It has sci-fi and futuristic and yada yada. I think it holds up well. I love Terminator 2, but I still prefer Terminator 1. I also just saw it in the theater recently when it had a little re-release, and I just thought, wow, this really does hold up brilliantly. Still very exciting. I get very sucked into it and feel tired when it's over. That's my test of a great action movie, if I feel tired when the monster is defeated or whatever. If I feel out of breath, and I do, when she finally squishes him at the end, and she's lying there just breathing, you're just like, oh, Jesus, that was intense. Perfect movie, in my opinion, perfect movie. I am about to listen to one of your other more recent shows and get nice and caught up. I wanted to call and support you, but I also want to do a shameless plug, and this is how the Internet works, apparently, is if you like things, then you tell the person that you like that you've created something and they should go like it and support it. So I just started a blog. It's not a podcast. It's a blog. And it's going to be focused on my second favorite all-time television show, Knots Landing. The reason I mentioned this is because I know at least one of you hosts watched that and loved it. And it's obviously quite brilliant. And I have three posts up right now. If you look right now, it might look weird because I've only got three Dallas episodes up. You might be like, what the hell? I thought this was about Knots Landing. Well, it is. But remember Gary and Val were in four episodes of Dallas before they got spun off into Knots Landing. So I'm covering those four episodes of Dallas. Then I'll move into Knots Landing proper, which will be in a couple of weeks. And they're just write-ups. I just write about the episode, and I rank them and try to talk about what they are. They're going up every Sunday. And the website, for the shameless plug alert, the website's called knotsblogging.com, and that's K-N-O-T-S. blogging.com, knotsblogging.com. Please support me, because right now I only have five comments, and I want to get a dialogue going. Knots fans unite. Try to bring some attention to this forgotten show. But anyway, your show, as usual, is excellent. I love you all. I hope that you're all doing very, very well, and I will talk to you later. Bye-bye.
Excellent. Well, thank you, Brett. And I think there are some fans of Knots Landing, aren't they? I must admit, I haven't seen an episode since they first aired, but I seem to remember it being quite silly.
Very silly. What did he say the web address was again? Knots
Landing.
No, it's Knots Blogging.
Oh, Knots Blogging, sorry.
.com.
Excellent.
Excellent. Well,
I can't wait to check that out since I'm like Eric. I'm a huge fan of Knots Landing.
Mm. Have you
right
seen
now
the,
I'm watching Dynasty.
Have you seen the YouTube video someone did of Knots Landing? They basically redid the intro, but they put a bunch of different people in the intro, like and starring Sam Elliott and Peter Weller, and then Peter and RoboCop Peter Weller, and Osama bin Laden, and all that. It's just really good.
That's a lot of people to live in that cul-de-sac.
Yeah.
Right. Well, thank you, Brett, and good luck with your blog. And I'm sure we'll be checking that out later. And always good to hear from you. And anyone else wants to phone in, then please do, because we don't get a lot of voicemails, do we? I don't think people might be scared of us.
You don't even necessarily have to phone in. You can record an MP3.
Exactly. Yes, that's always good. And then because I think sometimes people get put off by the idea of doing a voicemail because they feel like they're going to, if they fuck it up, then there's no going back, is there? But at least a voicemail, you can take multiple takes. But anyway, we've also got some more feedback, and I've got one here It says, hello, chaps. I have an entirely random. I have a few entirely random questions for you all. So here goes. Number one, My Bloody Valentine. I know that there's still some footage missing, but I've seen the enclosed photo online. The scene where Sarah is walking home at night and bumps into Chief Newbie. This photo shows a shadow of the miner. I've seen the adjusted film version and yet couldn't see this still. It doesn't seem to be in the film. Would it be part of lost footage? If so, would it be available to see as a, if so, why would it be available to see as a still, or would it just be a publicity photo? Any ideas? It would have made for a genuinely scary moment, I think. I mean, I think that was probably a set photo. I think it was a publicity photo that was possibly just set up. It may have been part of a scene, but I mean, there are bits missing from the film, as we know. Still, there was, and I don't think we'll ever see them. But I think there were kind of other little bits and pieces that just didn't even make it into the uncut cut. But that particular scene, I think, was probably just a publicity still. What do you guys think?
I'd imagine.
I would agree.
So as well. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, like that famous Betsy Banner shot where she's up against the plastic.
Yes. Yeah, no, exactly. Exactly. So cool. And number two, he's got four of these little points. He says, I just wanted to get your opinions on the post-Scream slasher Cry Wolf. I'm trying to get through this era and I've never heard of it until it was mentioned on a slasher documentary I saw recently. And so I got it on La Film, and I thought it was pretty decent. I've heard all your episodes, but never heard this one mentioned, so I'm just interested. Cry Wolf, what are your thoughts on Cry Wolf? Do any of you, I guess you've all seen it.
Yeah, I saw it in the cinema. I remember it being okay. I remember it had awful reviews at the time, but I remember it being pretty watchable. I haven't seen it since, and I'd probably have no desire to watch it again, but I don't remember it being awful or terrible.
No, what about you, Nathan and Joseph?
Go ahead.
I was just going to say, I've seen it, but I don't remember liking it, but I don't remember anything about it either.
Yeah, I'm the same way. I remember watching it, thinking it was just kind of tame, but I really don't remember anything about it. Maybe I should give it another chance.
Same here, really. I've watched it, and I think I have it, but I don't remember much about it at all.
I do remember when I saw the killer on an issue of Fangoria. I was like, "Ooh, that looks interesting," but I don't think the movie really, you know, held up to that.
Mm. Am I remembering correctly? There's a twist, isn't there, in it?
Yeah,
and it's a complete kind of, I guess, rip off, maybe homage to an 80s slasher movie that I won't mention.
Yes. Okay. Right, well, that was, you know, maybe we'll watch that again for next time. But and this is question three, and this is a question for Nathan and Joseph regarding conventions. He asked, do those who take part get paid for it? I understand they charge for autographs, but I was wondering if they get paid for an appearance fee as well, which would explain why more and more are appearing now. Do you know if it...
Well, I'd spoken to one of the convention celebs at one point, and they had mentioned that they get, I mean, obviously, like, it's almost like an all expense paid trip, but they don't actually get, like, paid to be there. Like, I think, like, some of them might. I mean, this one particular one didn't, but they got all their money from the autographs, but I think maybe for some of the bigger ones, especially, they'd probably pay them to come in. That's just speculation.
Is that your understanding, Joseph?
Yeah, that's pretty much what I heard. They basically get a free trip and they supplement their income or their movie roles with just selling autographs and taking pictures and all that stuff.
Because I imagine they can make a lot of money, can't they? I mean, it's obviously, if you've got someone like Jamie Lee Curtis or you've got Rhonda from Killer Workout, you might have slightly different amounts of
like, if you see the line, like, any convention I've ever been to, like say Robert Englund was there, if you see the line, it's like hundreds and hundreds of people just waiting. And if he charges at the bare minimum like $20 an autograph, and he's walking out of there, you know, lining his pockets very well.
Yeah, no, exactly. So that's obviously the reason they go. And the last point, number four, he says, I know Joseph and Justin talked about the TV series Scream after a few episodes, but now it's finished. I haven't heard it discussed, so I wanted your overall reviews now it has completed. I end up becoming gripped by it and thought it was actually a decent attempt at a TV series. Although, despite this, I wouldn't actually recommend it to anyone other than a slasher fan. It was far from a masterpiece, but fun enough, I thought.
I wouldn't recommend it to a slasher fan. I'd recommend it to like a fan of like, you know, teen dramas like Teen Wolf or something.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. I think I probably enjoyed it more than you did, Joseph. I especially liked the scene in the abandoned not roller rink, but the bowling alley. That episode.
Whoa.
Stripes.
Wow. Stripes is hungry.
She that, is.
That was quite well done. And I quite liked the ending. And I didn't actually guess who the killer was. I know Patrick from Scream Queen said he guessed who it was. But
I had two people I guessed. And the killer turned out to be one of those. So.
Okay. But it wasn't the only killer, was it? As without giving away who the killer was, but the fact is there was clearly someone else involved, which we don't know who yet. So, but yeah, no, I'll definitely
they kind of hint at it, but I guess they leave it open for next season, I guess.
Yeah, yeah. So, but yeah, I'll probably watch next season. But he finishes up by saying, "Thanks all, and I promise it will be the first in line if Justin is able to get his book on Final Girls completed at some point in the future." Not sure if that's going to happen, but never know. By way, Peekaboo by Susie is amazing, and Don't Fall in Love by Toya needs to be re-released so it can be the top three smash it should have been. Much love, Michael Tomlinson. Oh, so look, bring us together.
Yeah.
Oh. Well, I sent Eric a picture of the Toya, two Toya songs that were on karaoke last night. And we didn't get around to singing them.
Oh, you probably didn't know them.
Although I think my voice would have probably been quite suitable for it.
Hey! Your voice is very suitable for Susie's drone.
For goodness sake. So anyway, I think we're going to move past that point, Eric. Have we got any more? Joseph, have you got one?
I have the Facebook comments on Killer Workout.
That'd be good.
I'll read these out. This is from Amanda Reyes. She says, "The Alamo Drafthouse Ritz screened Killer Workout recently as part of their Video Vortex series. It was pretty amazing seeing it projected on a big screen. It's one of the most insane slashers I can think of, and is also full of a lot of heart. I, too, am sad we no longer have David A. Pryor creating these awesome little flicks. Spoiler, sorta. My favorite scene is when the killer reveals her burned-up chest and the detective says, 'That wasn't necessary.'" And she goes on to say, "I really want the soundtrack, too." That's from Amanda Reyes.
Well, we forgot to mention that David A. Pryor actually passed away quite recently, didn't he?
Yeah. Last month, in August.
Yeah.
Yeah. Let's see. Michael Lake says, "I'm so sad that David A. Pryor died earlier this year. Killer Workout is a hoot, and his other movies were a lot of fun, too." Okay. Tom Virtuoso says, "I didn't find Killer Workout until a few years ago when clips of the soundtrack started showing up on YouTube, and it was so weird seeing Marcia Carr be such a turbo bitch compared to her Stevie character in Savage Streets. By far the most memorable sequence for me is the aerobic scene featuring the song Only You Tonight. There's just enough random hilarity with all the main characters to make the film seem way better than it turned out to be. Still a fun watch. It might be a bit better experience with a decent HD release." Let's see. Matt Minter says, "I've been wanting to see this for a while and impatiently waiting on the Blu-ray release in October. Definitely a fan of the soundtrack." Estelle Phillips says, "Good fun. Should team it up with the equally silly Death Spa." David C. Millay says, "Can this segue into a Deadly Prey episode?" Steve Yacht, a.k.a. Steve Green, whose email address is, by the way, just kidding, he says, "Oh, hell yes." Justin Cook, I think that's how you pronounce that, or Kosh, you can correct me later. I think you're one of my Facebook friends. He says, "I am currently watching this on YouTube. It's strangely brilliant, and the soundtrack trumps anything Toya has ever put out."
Oi.
Well, that's true.
Let's see. Scott Pliskin says, "There wasn't enough scenes of women exercising."
That's what that movie could have done more of, really.
Yeah.
More of, couldn't it? Yes.
Good one, Scott. Bob Hartshorn says, not as accomplished as the mighty Death Spa, but still daft as a brush and good for a few laughs. Finally, Michael Tomlinson says, the sunbed death must have influenced Final Destination. 3 or 4, I can't remember. And then Estelle Phillips replies to him and says, also, I still know what you did last summer. So, yeah, there you go. And that's it for the Killer Workout Aerobicide feedback via Facebook.
Excellent. Okay. Well, thank you.
Just
everyone.
To say that the Blu-ray is coming out on Olive Films, who Nathan will be delighted to hear are the same company that brought out Boarding House and the two Death Nurse movies.
Yeah, from what I understand, it's going to be just a port of the VHS, so don't get your hopes up for the sound. Yeah.
Well, really? they do. I'm looking at the Olive Films website here, and they have a disclaimer at the top saying, Killer Workout is presented using the best available elements provided by Slasher Video, not sourced from a HD master, remastered from a PAL Beta SP, and upconverted to Blu-ray. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't seem to be any extras on it. So, yeah, I think you're going to get the same audio quality that we all know and love.
Yeah.
Well, and it comes out in November. So.
Okay. Right. Well, thank you for everyone who put stuff on the Facebook page. We will put up what we're going to be covering next on there for you to have throw your penny worth in. Shall I mention what we're doing next time?
Yep.
Yes.
Well, it's another listener pick, and I should have looked out to see who chose it, but it's probably Mike Alishan, I imagine.
It is.
Yes. It's Tenebrae, Dario Argento's Tenebrae. So we're going the Argento's slasher giallo megamix from 1982. So it's his giallo, but with lots of the slasher movie trappings, obviously were very popular in the time in Italy as well. So I think it's going to be a fun one to talk about. So we're going to be covering that next time on the show. So so please, well, Straps is already getting excited, as we can see. Stripes, I mean.
Whoa, that's very exciting for a Tenebrae.
Yeah, she can't wait for that one.
It's not even time for her to eat yet, but she eats all the time. So I guess she's thinking it's time.
Oh, bless. So, okay, well, anything else we want to mention before we... Well, thank you for that, Stripes.
Stripes, calm down.
So, okay. What we playing out with?
This is Only You Tonight.
Oh, brilliant.
Okay.
Yeah, I love it.
Right. Well, again, thank you very much for joining us on The Hysteria Continues. You know where to find us. And also, please do leave a review on iTunes or Stitcher, because that's the way other people can find us. And so if you've enjoyed the show, do leave us a review, because, we'd love to get up in those rankings, wouldn't we, Eric?
Is that supposed to be rude? I can't... I don't know what's rude and what's not anymore.
Oh, I know.
It's kind of a gray area these days.
A bit like Eric's underpants. But, okay, anyway.
Hey!
Next time, we'll see you next time for a trip to Italy. So thanks for joining us, and see you soon. Say goodbye to the good people.
Goodbye, good people.
Goodbye, good people.
Is that
as tight as the Lycra and Killer Workout? I'm to be addressed as MC Sexy in this show.
Okay.
I gotta change my wig right quick.
Well, she's a bit psycho, that's why. You would be too if your boobs were burnt.
I would hate to have burnt boobs.
Yeah, I think everyone would.
It must have chafed quite a lot. Alright, I'll edit. It shouldn't take...
Whoa! Stripes is hungry.
She really is, isn't she?
She gets cranky.
Straps gets just really cranky when he wants a cigarette.
Are you still recording, Justin?
I am. Yes.
Oh, this has to go at the end of the episode. Yeah.